10. Good.
Amen.
At least I can count. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the public school system. Amen. Praise God. Well, we do want to welcome everyone here this morning. And we pray that God's Holy Spirit would be with you and will help you to accomplish His will upon the earth. And that He would be with you and help you to do His will. Is it on? Yeah. It's on? Okay. And to do His will upon the earth. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life.
I will honor it today
as this word
brings
life
to
my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand for just a minute. Let's all stand for just a minute. If you can. If you can't, that's fine. I want you to lift your hands, and this is what I want us to do. God says to pray for our families. And to pray for unbelievers that are in our families. This is what I want you to do. I want you to call out the names of your family members to the Lord God Almighty. And we're going to pray that they will come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Father, we come before you. Call out their names. Come on now. We're in the battle here. We want their souls saved in Jesus' name. Call out their names. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Call out their names. Father, we come before you this day, Lord God Almighty. And Lord God, you see the family members in our families that are not saved, that don't know you, Lord God. Father, we pray that you will send somebody their way, Lord God, to tell them about you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And Lord God, the family members that have backslidden, that have turned their hearts from you, that have turned their backs on you, Father, we pray, Holy Spirit, go get them. Bring them back to the saving knowledge of you, Lord God Almighty. Father, we claim their souls for the kingdom of God. We claim their souls for the kingdom of God. That the power of Almighty God will go and bring them back unto you, Lord God Almighty. Father, you said, whatever we loose upon the earth, it shall be loosed. Whatever we bind upon the earth, it shall be bound. Father, we bind the enemy from working in their hearts and working in their lives. And Father, we take authority over him that he cannot bind them anymore. But Father, we loose the Spirit of the Lord upon their lives and upon their hearts. Father, go out from this place to the north, the south, the east, and the west of this building and draw the people unto you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's battling for the souls of your family, people. Come on now. Come on now. I tell you what, if we don't stand in the middle, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? We got to split hell wide open, people. We got to stand in the middle and say, Lord, move. Lord, move. Lord, move. And don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. In Psalms chapter 2, verse 8, I think it's 2:8, it says, acts of me, talking about acts of the Lord, acts of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. Yes. And there's another part of that verse, but that's the part I wanted to, can you get that scripture? Psalms 2:8, acts of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. Praise God Almighty. Praise God Almighty. That's a scripture you can claim. Yes. I've been asking the Lord. I said, Lord, give me the heathen. Give me the backslider, Lord God. Give me the heathen. Give me whoever. Give me the ones that have no knowledge of the word. Give me the ones that have crooked knowledge of the word. That don't know the truth of your word, Father. Bring them in Jesus' name. Look, it says, ask of me and I will give you the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for the possession, or for your possession. Praise God. We can claim it as the word of God says. So you may be seated. Sometimes I'm, is this on? Don't you hear?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay. She can hear it. All right, I'm just making sure. And we do want to welcome all the ones that are on Facebook and stuff this morning that are watching. Thank you for watching. And we hope the Spirit of the Lord will touch your heart and touch your life this morning. And the Word will encourage you this morning. Amen. Every one of us in this building, without a shadow of a doubt, has been touched by death in your family. You know, if you only lived an X amount of time, you've been touched by death of maybe, you know, a father, a mother, grandmother, grandfather, maybe even children, grandchildren, sad to say, you know, those, all of it's sad because it hurts. But everyone has been touched somehow by death in their families. And when death comes to a family, you know, the possessions of that person, whatever it may be, the physical possessions of that person is given out to certain people, you know. And probably, you know, a lot of people in here, you have inherited certain things from maybe a mother or a father or even a brother, a sister, you know, whatever down the line, family. And even sometimes even beyond family, when you get close to somebody, they just put you in their will, you know. And we all hope for a rich uncle down the road that puts us in that will, you know. But, you know, we all laugh. But, you know, we all inherit, have already inherited certain things that have been given to us. Physical things. It could be, you know, you look down money, you know, physical thing that has been given to us. Or it could be land. You know, certain possessions of land that they have that they have to separate and give to you. It could be just certain articles in a home, you know, could be furniture, could be clothes, could be, you know, pictures, and just all, you know, all these things. Could be even a home, could be a vehicle. Inheritance of somehow that comes to us, and it's ours upon the death of that person when all the legal things are done, that we can possess that. We can possess it. And we've all, probably just about everybody, has gotten certain things that way. Somehow, some way, of some kind of maybe inheritance been given unto us. And you might say, well, Pastor, why are you saying this? Because I want you to see certain things in the Word that we've been given because of the death of our Lord and Savior and what He's given unto us. I want you to turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 7. Starting with verse 7. Well, I tell you, before we read, well, that's been some cool weather yesterday and today, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, before we get, you know, was everybody okay last week with that bad weather? You know, I know I've talked to some, and, you know, everybody had stepped on it, maybe rearranged at home, you know what I'm saying? You know, blown here, blown there, you have to go pick it up. But that's okay, you know, but everything was okay with everybody's stuff. Thank you, Lord. Look at verse 7. It says this, but unto every one of us is given grace. Now, what is the grace of God? The grace of God is unmerited favor towards an undeserving people. Unmerited favor. That means we didn't earn the grace of God. I know we all think we're great people, and you are great people because of God. But we know none of us has earned the grace of God. It has been given to us because he wants to give it to us. It's unmerited. That means we cannot work for it. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can say. There's nothing, no act that we can do to gain that grace. It's something that has just been given to us. That's like when somebody goes to you and says, hey, how you doing? And they just give you $20. And you look at them and they put it in and you go, well, why? Just because. That's the grace of God. He comes and he puts into your hand his grace. It's just been given to us. We didn't work for it. We didn't say anything. We didn't do anything. There's nothing we can do. It's just been given to us. No other species, if you want to put it that way, under heaven and earth has been given unmerited grace like humanity. And there's nothing else in Scripture that says that they have gotten that grace from God. God, for some reason, as it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I mean, just a great scripture. But that grace that has been afforded to God's people, not because we've done anything, but because of who he is, giving it out unto us, unmerited by him, giving it unto us. Look at this. Start it over again. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, talking about, as you can see in the scripture, his ascension, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, What is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same also who ascended far above all heavens, might fill above all heavens, that he might fill all things. This is what he's saying there. When Jesus died on the cross, before he died on the cross and his blood was shed, it says every year they go to the temple and they have to get blood and sacrifice bulls or sacrifice lambs or doves or certain things like that. And that blood would cover their sins to the next year. All it was a covering. It would cover the sins of the Jewish people, the Israelites. You might say, well, why did God do that? In order to bless the children of Israel. You see, God cannot bless sin in our lives. God cannot bless sin in us. But he can bless the people if the blood has covered them. That's powerful. And so every year they had to go and do this. And God the Father would bless the children of Israel. God the Father would bless the children of Israel because of the blood that would cover. The blood that would cover them. He would cover it. And so he could bless them. Not to the fullness of the capacity of the blood of Jesus, but he could bless them to the measurement of the grace that he extended towards them. And it says that after Jesus died on the cross and all these things in heaven, it says that he descended, went to a place, and they call it paradise, which was a place next to hell, basically. Just a matter of fact, hell is a place. There's a lot of people in it, and I don't say that gleefully at all. But this place, paradise, which was given by God, by the triune God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was a place, if you want to call it, a holding place till the perfect sacrifice came. And this place was next, there was hell, then there was a gulf between it, then there was paradise. Remember? And so when, before Jesus died, these people, whoever served God to the best of their ability and accepted the Father, they would go when they died to this place, not heaven. I said, well, why couldn't they go to heaven? Because Jesus hadn't died yet. Now, this is what I want you to get. How powerful is the blood of bulls and goats that they could keep them out of hell in paradise? How powerful is the blood of Jesus to bring the saints of God to heaven? We have an assurance, people, that this place that was called paradise, it says that Jesus, when he died upon that cross, he went to this place, that holding place that was there for them. Now, it was a place where they were not tormented. It was a place where they were not tormented by the enemy, but yet it wasn't heaven. They could not enter in because Jesus hadn't died. And Jesus was the only one that could wipe away sin like it had never been done before. The blood of bulls and goats could only cover that sin so that the Father could look through it, but yet it was covered and he could still bless them. And it says that Jesus went to that place in preaching and he got those people. He got Abraham and Sarah and Noah and his three sons and hopefully their three wives. He got the men, the old men of patriarch. He got the old women, the women that lived years ago that served God, that loved God, and took them and said, the price has been paid. The price has been paid. The price has been paid. And he says that he ascended to the Father with these people. And there's a few other things between, but that's the gist of it. What I want you to get today is this. How powerful is the blood of Jesus? How powerful is the blood of Jesus? Jesus' blood is so powerful that it will help us to conquer all things in our lives that need to be conquered. The blood of Jesus is so powerful that it can wipe away sin from our hearts and our lives and make us so clean that he looks at us and says, they've never done that before. We don't realize how powerful the blood of Jesus is. Now, you know, when someone dies that's saved and has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they go directly to heaven. When they close their eyes and, you know, and give up the ghost, if you want to say it that way, they are immediately with Christ in heaven because of the blood of Jesus and what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. How powerful that blood is. That it is the door. Jesus is the door. The blood of Jesus is that door that we can enter in. And we can enter in with an assurance that the blood of Jesus is upon our hearts and upon our lives. At the moment of salvation, what do? We accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We say, Lord, I believe that you died upon the cross, that you rose again from the dead, that you gave your life for me, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And that blood comes in and cleanses our hearts and souls, cleanses us from all the guilt and the pain and the agony of all those things that we have gone through from years past up to that day. And it's that blood seals the child of God. seals the child of God. The blood of Jesus. See, sometimes as children of God, we don't realize how saved we are. You know, this morning you might have woke up and said, oh, I'm going to church, praise God, I feel cool. Tomorrow you might get up and say, oh, my God. You may not feel saved, but you are saved. That's where faith comes in. That's where faith comes in. The blood of Jesus seals us. Seals the child of God. Seals the child. It's like, you know, in the Old Testament, with the kings and stuff, they had signet rings that would identify their kingdom. You know, whatever it was, they had rings that would signify their kingdom. And when a letter was sent from the king to another king, or even to some very important person in that kingdom or other kingdoms, after that letter was written and it was sealed, that he would take his ring, you know, either the one he had on or they had, you know, their seal, and they would take that putty and that stuff, and they would seal that, even though it was sealed already, they would seal it on the back with the emblem of that king. That's what the blood of Jesus does to the child of God. When we got saved, he sealed us with the emblem of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I'm going to go this far to say this. Even as a child of God, and you sin, do I need to go any further? No. Everybody gets the gist? You say something, you do something, whatever happens, you're still sealed with that blood. I said, well, I don't lose my salvation. You don't lose your salvation because of sin. You lose your salvation because you turn your back on God. And you say, I don't want to serve you. I don't want to be with you. And I'm turning my back on you. And you go a different direction. But just because sin enters in somehow, whatever it is, whatever you fight, whatever you battle, whatever it is, just because you might do it, or it happens, or you say something and you know it's not right, that doesn't mean you lose your salvation. The blood of Jesus is more powerful than any evil or sin in our hearts and lives. Remember this, when Jesus won the battle, He won the battle. He conquered the sin. It didn't say sins. The sin nature. The sin factor. The sin part. And so as we accept our Lord, He seals us with His blood. And yet we may fall at times. And yet we may say something that's not right. Or we may do an act that's not right. Whatever may happen. But the blood is still there, sealed us, sealed by the blood of Jesus. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, am I to ask forgiveness? Well, definitely. We're to ask forgiveness. We're to go to the Father and say, Father, forgive me. I'm so sorry. Forgive me for what I have done, said, or whatever else. As a child of God, we should ever be, because of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that when we do something not right, the Spirit of God will show us. He will convict us right away. That's the Spirit of the Lord. What He's doing is saying, hey, that's not right, Joe. Oh, I'm so sorry, Father. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I'm sorry, Lord. And from that time forward, it's forgiven. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. How powerful it is, people. How powerful it is. How powerful it is. Look at this. Verse 9, it says, Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same also who up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He's the creator, he's the savior, he's our Lord, he's our God. Psalm 68, verse 18. Psalm 68, verse 18, which is really basically the same scripture, just I want you to see it in both places. Look at verse 18, page 939. It says, you have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts from men, yes, for the rebellion also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. But also we know he had to die upon that cross. He liberated God, his people. Liberated us, people. Liberated us. That God can instantly forgive us because we ask him to. And give us the ability not to live in sin, but to conquer that thing through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's given us salvation through the blood, and he's given us victory in all other areas of our lives through the blood of Jesus. Look at this. I want you to turn. We read that scripture. That's just basically he had ascended on high. Look, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 15. This was Paul praying for the Ephesian church, the Ephesians that were there. And during our Bible study Wednesday, I brought this out and just shared it with you, but I want to tell you. It says, look at verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Look at verse 18. Look at the latter part. It says, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Not talking about our inheritance, okay? His inheritance. We talked about earlier when somebody passes away or dies, you know, people inherit all kind of stuff. It says this, upward who believe according to the working. Go back to, yeah, that's good. That's good. Go back to the others. Thank you. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance. That should have been capitalized, H. Should have been capitalized. You know, that's just what they, that's what they have. So it's not. But it's talking about his inheritance in the saints. Look at it this way. This is what I want you to see. Every one of us in here that has given our lives to the Lord, and I know you all been saved, you've given your life to the Lord, you are God's inheritance. You can literally walk around and say, I'm God's inheritance. Now, you might want to watch who you say it to, you know. But But you gotta think that in your heart. Every one of us, his inheritance in the saints. Okay, how did God get the inheritance? There had to be a what? Death. Who died? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the great Jehovah God, the mighty God, that when the Father said, I need for you to go to the earth and die for my people, that he didn't even blink an eye. He said, I'll do it. Knowing he was going to be 100% man, 100% God, but yet not have a sin nature in him like we all do. That's something we've inherited from our mothers and our fathers to the from Adam and Eve. That sin nature that's in us. We crave to sin. It's true. It's true, huh? Have you heard? Little morsels. Have you heard? Ooh, can you believe? Or whatever, you know, all these little things. You know, we've all been there, we've all done it. Huh? No one's holier than any other. Only God the Father is the holiness, and his Son and the Holy Spirit. So that sin nature's in us. But it wasn't in Jesus Christ. He didn't get anything from Mary, except she was an incubator for him. And Jesus didn't get anything from Joseph. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. She was just like a tent, or just an incubator for him to grow and to be born. No sin. He was the perfect sacrifice. No one could have done what he had done. No one. He did everything perfect. He preached. He loved the people. He taught the people. From the time he was 30 to 33. I mean, that was his ministry. I mean, from the time he was born to he was 30, you know, he was prepared. He knew the law. He knew what they taught. But from 30 to 33, he preached the gospel. He preached to the people. The power of God moved. People were healed under the presence of the power of God. People would come and just want to touch him because they knew something was happening in him. They may not understand it, but they knew the power of God was in this man's life. Some believed that he was the Savior. Some did. Some didn't. Some wanted to trip him up. Some wanted to stone him. Some wanted to hang him. But they couldn't because he was the Son of the living God. And it says that he laid down his life for us. And the blood of Jesus came rolling down from his head, his hands, his side, his feet, everywhere, his back. He had to die for us to be redeemed back. You are God's inheritance. Man, how valuable you are to him. Don't ever put yourself down. Don't ever say, well, I'm not educated like so-and-so. Maybe you're not, but don't put yourself down. Maybe you're not as good-looking or as pretty as whoever else down the road. But let me tell you, that's not the things God looks at, people. Oh, let me tell you. We all say, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. But I tell you what, everyone who's got up this morning, you got in the shower, you got in the bathtub, you ironed your clothes, you tried to look good, thank you, Lord. You are an inheritance to the Father through his Son, Jesus. Look at yourself as an inheritance, not in a prideful way, but man, you are blessed by God. You have been touched by God. You are his inheritance. When he looks down upon the earth and he sees you, he says, that person, that's my daughter. That's my son. That's my daughter. That's my son. What can I do for them today? How can I protect them? How can I lead them in the right direction? Because we are his inheritance. And he takes us and he protects us and leads us and guides us as an inheritance unto him. My God, the greatest thing ever. We are children of the living God. Produced by our God. Living for our God to the best of our ability. Asking God to use us to save souls. Asking God to move in our hearts and move in our lives. The power of our God. The anointing of our God that rests upon our hearts and souls. You are an inheritance unto your God. That's how precious you are to God. Some of us have a hard time believing that. How precious you are to God. You say, but Joe. And that's the problem right there, but. Get it out the way. Believe what the word says. Your past is your past. Don't worry about it. It's under the blood of Jesus. And all you can track is the future. And you have the Father, the King of Kings with you in the future. And we know the future. He's going to work in us and through us. He's going to make everything straight and right. He's going to do what needs to be done. To help us to get through. That's the power of our God, people.
Amen.
That's the power of our God. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are what? In Christ. What? Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation. Put that scripture up. Romans 8:1. To those who. There is therefore now no condemnation, or if you want to say guilt. No guilt, people. We are an inheritance of God. We have no guilt. If you only realize how many people, not just people, how many Christians live in guilt, it would astound you. They're guilty of things. They're guilty because they weren't maybe the best parent. They're guilty because they didn't do this right. They're guilty because they didn't say this right. They're guilty about this and that and this and that. My God, look. Who's perfect? No one. That's why we needed a Savior. There is therefore now no condemnation of them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of the living God. My God. The blood of Jesus helps us to conquer those things. We walk not after the flesh. Not the things of the flesh. But we walk after the Spirit of the Lord. Father, give me a yearning for your Spirit. Father, I'm your inheritance. Give me a desire for you, Lord. Give me a desire for the things of God. Give me a desire for him. To live for him. To do what is right. And to continue living in the anointing and the presence of our God. The power of our God. No condemnation to them who are in what? Christ Jesus. And let me tell you, old slewfoots out there trying to bring condemnation to each and every one of God's people every day. Well, buddy, he's been lit.
Amen.
And we have the power of Almighty God.
Amen.
The power of Almighty God. Every day he tries to come out at us, trying to make us feel guilty about this and guilty about that. Well, look, turn the tables around.
Come on.
Turn it around and say, oh no, not anymore. This is it. The word be against you. And you quote Romans 8:1. And you say, there is therefore now no condemnation in me. None. Zilch. Zero. No condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Who walk out not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of the living God. We are the inheritance of our God. He has put us as the most precious commodity, if you want to say it that way. And probably that's not even a good word to use. We're the most precious thing to him. We are the inheritance of our God. Your animals at home, I'm sorry to say, they're not the inheritance of God. All your little cats and dogs and all that stuff, you know, we love them. But let me tell you, when they die, they die. And I know I said that a while back. That's it. The Spirit of God is not in them. Not that Spirit. They don't have a soul. They don't have a soul. But you know what? We do. And Jesus came and died on the cross for humanity. I want you to grasp this. He loves you. Just hold it in. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit loves you. And every one of you is the Father's inheritance. And as we step on the other side of the shore of heaven, either when he comes and the trumpet blows, or we just die because of old age or whatever else comes, that as we step into that, on those pearly gates and the gold streets and the pearly gates are open and you walk in, we know the Father and Jesus sitting next to him is going to be there. And they're going to say, welcome home. Welcome. I don't know if they'll say this to one another, or they might say, our inheritance is home. Ooh, that's good. Our inheritance may be home. Every human being is his inheritance. Supposed to be. But not every human being is going to make it. Because the inheritance comes through death and the death of our Savior. And we have to accept him as our. You are an inheritance. How valuable you are to God. Don't sit down in Mully Grove and say, nobody cares about me, or nobody likes me or loves me. That's not true. That's from the pit of hell. It is. That's from the pit of hell. Because it's not true. It's not true. I have a lady, an old lady, 94 years old, on my route. I'm going to end with this. Isla Grace is getting a little antsy. That's okay. You love her, that little girl. I'll tell you. It's okay. I have an elderly lady on my route, 94 years old. She goes to a church out there somewhere else. Always knocking her door no matter what. She has mail or not. She comes to the door, takes a little while. She goes to the door. Talk to her a little bit, how you doing, you know, everything's okay, yes, and all that stuff. Just checking on her. But you know, the other day, her daughter-in-law had surgery. And, not her, but her daughter-in-law. And so, a week later, she, you know, I knew about it, so I said, well, I'm going to pray for her. You know, I'm going to pray for that situation. Cancer, you know, so she's out of the hospital doing fine. But a few days ago, she came to the door and said, how you doing, Miss Nanny? Oh, doing okay, but she said, I'm mad at my church. I said, okay. She knows I'm a preacher. I said, Miss Nanny, what's going on? She said, you know, when my daughter-in-law had surgery, I called or was going in. And they said they would pray. I said, well, good. But you know, that preacher never called. I said, Miss Nanny, maybe he's busy. Oh, no. There's no excuse. I said, Miss Nanny, you need to pray for him. Yeah, There's a difference, though, she said. There's a difference between a preacher and a pastor. I said, you're right. Preacher will preach on Sunday, a pastor will take care of the people of the week. I said, yeah, but I said, you need to pray for them. She said, when I go Sunday, so I'll let the Lord. I said, listen, I said, please be respectful. You know, you just tried to, because I know, you know, you don't want. She said, I'm going to tell them. She said, I'm going to tell them I have a postman that comes and he knocks on my door every day and checks on me. But none of y'all called me. I said, Miss Nanny, you got to love now. You got to love it. You don't know what's going on. So I tried to help the pastor. I really did. Tried to help. Oh, Lord, Lord Jesus, be with them. Help them. Just a matter of note, though. Now, I know we laughed about this. People, let me know when things are happening in your family. You know, I mean, I don't need to know when they go to the dentist. You know, I'm not talking about that. You know, but what I'm saying is let me know when maybe somebody's in the hospital or, you know, whatever, because I need to know. You might say, well, call the phone here or call at my house. Let me know so we can pray with you. And you know, Jelaine and I, we want to be not just preachers, but we want to be great pastors for you. You know, you might say, well, do you really take this job serious? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because one day I will have to stand before the Lord. Before the Lord. And I want to be able to say, I did the best I could. I did the best I could, you know. But let us know things, you know. And let me tell you, what you tell us, we keep, we pray. You know, we ask God to move. We ask God to, because you are precious to us. And we love you. I'm going to stop there because it's 11:35.